Well, hello. My name's Rupert Matthews. I'm National Campaign Manager at Better Off Out. We're campaigning, of course, for Britain to leave the European Union. Now, this week, our podcast comes from Lancaster. We were up in Lancashire for a series of meetings, but I took the opportunity while I was there to visit some of the local sites to see what they could teach us about Britain's relationship with the European Union. We start off in Dalton Square, where there's a really great monument to Queen Victoria. Then we'll move on around the town. I'll explain as we go along where we are and what we're doing. Well, here I am in Dalton Square in Lancaster. As you can see behind me is the monument to Queen Victoria that was put up here by the city of Lancaster. And around the base are bronze plaques of the worthies who were active during her reign and, of course, the British Lions. Now, back in Queen Victoria's reign is when the British military was at the absolute zenith of its power. The Royal Navy controlled the oceans of the world. The British Army was one of the finest fighting forces to be found anywhere in the world. Things have changed since then, of course. Successive governments over the past few decades have reduced defence spending, and so the Royal Navy is down to a fraction of the size it was in Victoria's time, and our army is much smaller as well. And yet the European Union is taking quite a different course. They are building up the military resources of the European Union. They want the European Union itself. President Juncker has made it quite clear that he thinks the European Union should have its own armed forces that it can use to further its own foreign policy, quite distinct from those of its member states. The projection of military power is a key element in foreign policy. It is also a key part of building a country. And this reminds us that the European Union wants to turn itself into a country. Long-term plan, which they make no secret of, is to make the European Union akin to the United States of America. And Britain would just be a member state of the Union in much the same way that Alabama or California are member states of the United States of America. So when we come to the referendum on our membership of the European Union, it's important to realise this isn't actually a referendum between staying as we are or leaving to become an independent country. It's between signing up to the direction of travel of the European Union or becoming separate and independent. Status quo is not going to be an option. The European Union isn't going to stay as it is. It's going to develop and change. Now, we all have our opinions on the British Empire, but certainly the idea that Britain would have an independent military, would have an independent foreign policy, is just simply not going to be the case under the blueprint the European Union is putting forward. That is yet another reason why I believe we should vote to leave the European Union. Well, here we are outside Lancaster Castle in Lancaster, Lancashire, of course. Now, behind me is the Great Gatehouse, which was built by Henry, Duke of Lancaster, who's better known to history as King Henry IV. The reason why I thought we'd come here is that Henry never set out to become king at all. He was a cousin of the royal family. He wasn't in the direct line of succession. But he had the misfortune to live in England at the time of King Richard II, one of the most unpleasant men ever to sit on the throne. Richard was corrupt, vindictive, spiteful, and Henry of Lancaster got on the receiving end of the injustices of which King Richard II was capable. He was exiled, all his estates were confiscated. Henry came back and he landed here in northern England, declaring that he was coming back to reclaim the estates that had been unjustly taken from him, launch a legal case against the king, and so on. But so many men flocked to his banner and wanted to support him that in fact he ended up overthrowing King Richard II and becoming king himself. Now, this has got important lessons for today. When you have a regime in which it is impossible to change the people in power, you end up with civil wars, revolutions, rebellions, bloodshed, mayhem, and all sorts of other unpleasant things. Now, here in this country, we've learnt those lessons. And over the years, we've developed a constitution which allows for the people in power to be voted out by the people, and in order for there to be smooth transitions from one regime to the next. Over on the continent, they haven't really learned those lessons at all. We know, of course, the French Revolution, the revolutions of 1848, the revolutions that followed the First World War, the dictatorships of the 1930s. And unfortunately, the European Union is continuing to make exactly the same mistakes. Yes, we elect members to the European Parliament, but the European Parliament doesn't really have a lot of power. The power is in the hands of the European Commission, a sort of self-selecting oligarchy where they bring in people who are like themselves, who share their worldview, who want to continue with the policies that have made the European Union what it is. And if we, the people, are unhappy with that and want to get rid of them, there's absolutely nothing we can do. We do not vote for the commissioners, we do not vote for the junior officials within the commission. They all select themselves and keep the power in their own hands. History has proved time and time again that that is a recipe for disaster. It can only lead to violent changes of regime and bloodshed, as Henry, who built this gatehouse here, discovered to his benefit, but to the cost of Richard II. So, when it comes to the referendum on the European Union, I'm going to be voting to leave the European Union because I believe that a democratic constitution and an ability to have a smooth changeover from one prime minister to the next is the best way forward. It leads to stable government, it leads to a prosperous economy, and it will keep us away from the sort of turmoil and upheavals that we're currently seeing in Greece, and sadly, I believe we'll be seeing elsewhere. So come the referendum on the European Union, we should vote out, or we might be caught up in all the sorts of unpleasantness that took place here so many centuries ago. Well, here we are in Lancaster Castle. Lancaster Castle in Lancashire has been used for many purposes over the years, particularly to do with justice. It's been a courthouse, a prison, and indeed a place of execution. Probably the most famous executions that took place here were in 1612, when 10 witches from the nearby town of Pendle were accused of murder using the magical powers of witchcraft. They were brought here for trial, found guilty of murder, and executed. Now, not all that many witches were actually executed in this country, and those who were not convicted of witchcraft per se, but of crimes using witchcraft. Now, of course, things have changed over the years. These days, nobody would be accused of witchcraft. And those changes have been built up slowly and steadily within the English legal system, building on the rights and liberties of freeborn English people that go right the way back to before the Norman Conquest. But today, that web of legislation and case law which has built up is now being reinforced by a Bill of Rights that's going through Parliament even as I speak. These are all homegrown rights, homegrown liberties, homegrown safeguards to stop the state unfairly molesting individual people. Now, Europe, of course, doesn't have such a good track record. Throughout the 20s and 30s, there were regimes who really introduced all sorts of really nasty breaches of human rights. And it was for that reason that the European Court of Human Rights was set up in the wake of the Second World War to try and ensure that those abuses never took place again. Here in England, of course, like I say, we have our own home-built safeguards, so arguably we don't need the European superstructure that has been built up. And were we to leave the European Union, as I hope we will continue to have the freedoms, liberties and safeguards that the English people have enjoyed for so many years. Of course, it didn't do the poor old Pendle witches much good, but things have moved on from then, and were we to leave the European Union, our individual freedoms and liberties would continue to be safeguarded. So I'm going to vote to leave. Well, here I am on St George's Quay in Lancaster. As you can see behind me are some old warehouses that have been converted into flats. right up until the middle of the 19th century, Lancaster was actually a very busy port. But unfortunately, at that point, the River Lune, on which the town has been built, was all silted up and ocean-going ships could no longer get here. And so this area of the town fell into disrepair, and only recently has it all been rejuvenated and so on. And what this shows us is that for a town, or indeed a country, to remain economically vibrant and active, it has to be flexible. It has to have the ability to shift its focus, to change the way in which people earn their living and how the town or country gains its prosperity. And that is why it is absolutely essential in my mind that Britain should vote to leave the European Union. The European Union as a whole has got an economy that's in relative decline, certainly compared to the rest of the world. Prosperity is falling, employment is falling, and so on. And yet out there in the wider world, the world with which these warehouses were trading 100 or so years ago, there are vibrant economies that are growing, that are booming, and Britain could lock into that through free trade and the World Trade Organization and remain a flexible and dynamic economy, which would mean increased prosperity for all of us. And so here we are, like I say, St George's Quay in Lancaster. And these old warehouses behind me demonstrate the need for a flexible, outward-looking economy as opposed to the ossified, inward-looking, downward-trending economy of the European Union, which is just another reason why we need to vote to leave the European Union in the referendum. Well, here we are in front of Lancaster Priory, which is in Lancaster in Lancashire, of course. This is now the parish church, but it was originally built many centuries ago to be a priory, a Benedictine priory, built on the site of an old Anglo-Saxon church itself, built on the site of a Roman building that we think may actually have been a temple. So this has been a religious site for many, many centuries. But the reason why I wanted to come here is because, of course, the priory at which this was originally was a daughter house of a monastic building over in France. And of course, throughout the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church represented a transnational organisation of immense wealth and power. Now, whatever your feelings about the Roman Catholic Church are today, back then, it portrayed itself as being an enormous force for good, and indeed it did achieve many worthwhile things. It brought an end to a lot of the more unpleasant feudal violence between various squabbling lords. It imposed what it called the Truce of God, that was, it protected civilians during wars and so on. However, it was also an enormously wealthy institution, and buildings such as this represented a way by which wealth could be funneled out of the Kingdom of England and taken over to Europe to be used for all sorts of purposes. Many of them no doubt good, but none of them really directly relevant to England or to the people of England. And it was those problems which very largely motivated King Henry VIII in the 1530s to break with the church in Rome and to, if you like, repatriate the powers over religion and the enormous wealth which the church had built up over the centuries. That wealth, once it was kept in this country, was then available to improve the economy of England and to lay the foundations for the economic revolution and the industrial changes that came later. So, the priory we have here, parish church for the good people of Lancaster, but it does show the problems that can be imposed on a country when it is part of a transnational organisation, which really is not answerable at all to the people of this country. I can't help being reminded, of course, of our current relationship with the European Union, another transnational organisation, another organisation which is moving money out of this country over to the continent, which portrays itself as being an enormous power for good. Though whether the money it takes from us is actually used for worthwhile purposes or not, I think is something of an open question. Now, when Henry VIII broke from Rome, it represented a decisive shift in the fortunes of England. England was then set up an upward trajectory in economic terms, in political terms, and so on. And I believe that leaving the European Union will have a similarly beneficial effect. Again, the wealth will be able to be kept in this country for our purposes and to improve the economy of this country. And all in all, we will again be breaking with an organisation which proclaims itself to be marvellous and wonderful, but is not in fact answerable to the people of this country at all. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that if Henry VIII was alive today, he'd be voting to leave the European Union in our referendum. We can always learn from the past.